It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 744. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And you can also go directly to Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. So, big stack of email. We're going to talk about the scan to network folder response, and a listener came up with the combination needed to make it work. So I have a lot of email with a lot of great suggestions, but it was a multi-layered solution. Going to go over that. Getting clients at the new location. I think that's great tips for anybody, and especially right now during this strangeness that we're in with the COVID-19. Phone issue fixed? Not what I expected, but was going to solve that. Then Windows 10 2004 defrags SSDs, and it's not supposed to. So I have a great link to a Britech video, but I'm going to tell you what I did to solve it right now on my system. And you might want to heed to this. And definitely, it's something you want to take notes on. And then acoustic panels, I got some emails on that. And then WinSys internals, a listener follow-up. Lots of stuff here. Saturday afternoon, we don't know the exact time. Marvin B. will be coming up here, and he needs to be in town this weekend for some work in Tampa. So him and his wife, they're coming by, and I'm going to record hopefully two shows. We're going to do a Podnuts Pro and a Mike Tech Show. So he'll definitely be my guest. If it works out, I will announce it on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll go live and record this for everybody right here on Twitch. So stay tuned for that. Could happen for Saturday afternoon. Next week's show. I am starting to build out making this house a smart home. It's something I never talk about because I'm now just dipping my toes into it. And some of the things that I've started to do and what I plan to do, and I'm going to talk about that. And we're going to have a dedicated smart home, how to start out, including what I've purchased, very inexpensive robot vacuum cleaner, but not one of the main brands. Okay, so let's get started. The big problem that I was having is that printer scanner to scan to a folder. I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I got lots of great suggestions, but we're going to read all of them. So this is from Dexter. Here are some stupid things to check that I found would help with this. Make sure if the printer is on the same work group as the PC. It is. I checked that because I can print to it. If it has username and password on the printer, use the fully qualified name, PC name, you know, Mike PC, and then user Mike. Absolutely. And this one, it doesn't have NFS. If it has NFS on the printer, turn it on. Make sure folder is shared on the PC. Sometimes I give full access to everyone to test, and make auto discovery it on the PC. In some MFP printers and copiers, you have to have the same login info as the PC in printer as user. No, you did all of this, which I did, but sometimes I have to step back, analyze if I went down the wrong rabbit hole. I usually start over, ensuring each piece in process works. And that's exactly what I did, Dexter. It's why I talked about this on the show, because it was really frustrating me and I wanted to get answers. This is from Moshe. This is regarding to the scan to folder you mentioned on a recent show. Did you confirm the network is set to private in the network 10 network settings? Great suggestion. Yes, I did. You can also try going to group policy on the PC you are scanning to and browse to computer configuration, Windows settings, security settings, local policies, security options. Make sure Microsoft Network Server digitally signed communications is disabled. I actually checked that and it was. We had this to fix a network scanning for one of our customers. These are great suggestions, and I did them all. This is from Mark. Have you tried creating a new folder and starting from scratch? Absolutely. And he has some other settings here. Hold on. My fix for this was using the IP address of the computer, then the shared folder. Instead of the computer name, I did that and it did not work, but that is actually half of the solution. This is from Terry. Sounds like you're having fun at your new house. I was listening to your last podcast today and you had an HP printer that would not scan to the computer. I installed a new computer last Friday for a client and had an HP printer that I had to unplug it and move it. When I plugged it back in, the Wi-Fi had turned back on, and it was only USB only. The scan to computer option was there, and when I turned the Wi-Fi off, the scan to computer option was gone. I think it has something to do with the network settings. In the printer, the client's office has Wi-Fi only, so I have it hooked up with USB only. I just have her starting the scanning process from the HP Smart app, which, by the way, works great. I just want the convenience of walking up, hitting to scan the folder, pick my computer, and boom, have it work. Don't know if this will help or point you in the right direction to get it figured out. Terry, great suggestions. And I did make sure that the Wi-Fi was Ethernet only and no other things were activated or set. The solution that worked. And I reached out to Simon and I thank him for recommending what I'm going to describe here. Ensure the computer hosting the share is trusted on the network. The no firewall blocking from trusted devices. That didn't impact this. Assign the computer hosting the destination folder a static IP address or set up address reservations in the router, which is exactly what I did when I tried the IP address. Create a new unique user and password combo on the computer sharing the scan folder, HP scans, and a password. That's exactly what I did. I created an HP scans user. I assigned it a password. I gave it the full permissions of the scan folder. I now have a static IP address. I use the IP address, so / IP address, / the share name. Then for the username, it was the IP address, / HP scans, and then the password. That fixed it. That was the combination. So when I get back to Pennsylvania, I have an HP printer with the same issue. Then I have another printer that I don't have to do that with that's HP. It makes no sense. So now we have an exact solution. My son and I have ran into this on several occasions. That's why it was so frustrating. And we always use the HP Smart app, and that works. But we really wanted this to work, and I have clients that want this. So, Simon, thank you, thank you. Please respond to my email. He's in the UK, because I want to hook you up with some things. All right. This is a follow-up on the topic, and it's from Nancy, and I received this today. SMB version 1 and scan to folder. Mike, I know you like to scan to folder and that it takes SMB version 1 to do it. No, it doesn't actually. But I'm surprised you'd take the risk. SMB version 1 is the vulnerability that permits the WannaCry ransomware exploit. Yes, you can probably be fine by making sure the rest of your patches and updates are installed, but it's still the one hole that WannaCry makes use of. Here's one article on it. If you're aware of it and still think it's worth the risk, what are you doing to mitigate that risk? This is from Nancy. Been listening to you since about 2 months before the layoff that changed your life. Nancy, thank you. I have a great link that's going to be in the show notes. This, I do not have SMB version 1, and I am scanning to the network folder. The only time that I use that is there is no other way because it's an older copier. I warn the client. We make sure Malwarebytes Premium is running. I do everything I can to help mitigate the risk, but it doesn't eliminate it. But I make it the client's choice because we have no other way. And I recommend buying a new device that can support something greater than SMB version 1. So Nancy, I agree with you 100%, but I still have a couple clients that we have no choice, and that's what the client wants to do until they get a new system that can do support greater than SMB version 1. Okay. This email, different topic now. Being at this second location, this is from Arnold. Hey, Mike, I myself have been considering the move to Florida for a second location. I haven't been following your relocation, so maybe you can reply to this email as to how you are acquiring clients there. I will be located in, and it's an area, so we should, but it's not near me. It shouldn't compete. We shouldn't compete too much. And this is Arnie. Arnie, I never really talked about this because the clients, I'm not here full time. I'm only here part time. But then again, I'm still taking care of all my clients up north. So one of the things I started realizing, and it just sort of fell into my lap, is why not have clients here? So I already have two. Now, how did I get them? I met them at the pool. So we're literally at the pool, socially distant apart. There wasn't many. They're part of this community that I'm in. And it got around to what I do, and they had computer problems. One had a laptop problem that I was able to fix. And then another problem was, again, another laptop problem that really just needed a deep cleaning. The other one needed a fresh reinstall of Windows 10. I fixed them both. Both billable. And I met them both on different nights at the pool in our community. So sometimes you don't think of some of the things that are in front of you. But here's what I'm going to do. First, I'm not here enough to join a BNI chapter. But if you're going to be here enough to make it full time, but it sounds like it's just a second location, you should definitely look into BNI, and now they're not meeting in person because of the COVID-19. They are all Zoom-based, so it's real easy to be a guest and actually check out the meetings. Anybody can be a visitor, and you just look for a local chapter. There is, because it's of the social distancing, it's hard. There's no events happening here. But something in this community, there is a monthly newsletter. And it's nice. There's a few pages. I want to start having a computer tips article every month. That's something to get in front of everybody on a page where you do some tips. Maybe work out a deal. Say, look, I'll write a column for you. Hey, give me some love. Give me an ad at the back of the newsletter or somewhere wherever they put, you know, some advertising. And they'll probably do that. Do this for different communities. One other thing, as soon as they allow meetings, I'm going to ask to speak at the end of a board meeting where it's open to everybody, where they can pre-announce there's going to be cybersecurity tips that I get to give, and I'll have a stack of my business cards, and I will pick up some clients. I know I will. So look into those creative ways of getting some business. And I can't wait to do that. So I'm going to plant something for you to think about when you're looking for clients. And this is really the B&I philosophy. You are farming and planting seeds. You are not hunting. Think about that. You are planting seeds and farming. And that's how you look at getting new business. This is from Kate, a follow-up to my issue with dialing extension to extension and not using the DID numbers between my son and I on our phones. Never worked on or for with Freedom Voice, but I come out of telecom. The problem with dialing the extension is that someone missed something in the programming. You mentioned there was another problem, several reboots, and that tells me someone just took the set out of the system and rebuilt it. That person missed a step. Have them go back and start all over again rather than screw around trying to fix it. You or your son should be on the phone with them and testing with them and not allowing them to close a ticket until you're satisfied. Kate, that's exactly what I did. And I will tell you the answer because it really surprised me, but you are correct. There was a step, and I think I'm the guilty party because I set up the extension. This is from Andy. Check to see if your call forwarding for the affected extension is set to forward to a number rather than a user, where the number is the DID number of the handset. Let me know if there's anything else I can help. Andy, I checked that and it was correct. Now, this is from Freedom Voice Tech Support. The email that I was able to tell them, I was able to test and it worked. Hello, Michael. As a test, I set up a Zopier soft phone to mirror extension 800 and 802. I was able to dial back and forth by the extensions. Based on that test, I enabled encryption on the extensions. Now the system will send encrypted packets. See, I don't think I have the control to be able to do that, so maybe I didn't really mess up. So please test extension dialing when you have a chance. If it works, then we probably want to look into the networks. We want to verify that SIP or SIP ALG is not active on either the modem or the router. Just let me know once you have had time to test, because he reached out. It was too late and Michael had already left the Pennsylvania office. When he got back the next day and tested, everything worked. Now, I talked about this a few weeks ago. SIP ALG is not on this network here, but it is because of the Verizon Fios router up in my home. And right now, that hasn't given us any difficulties until now, but it is working. And the SIP ALG protocol, I know it wreaks havoc, but right now, I don't have to worry. The extension to extension is working perfectly. This is from Santos. Just letting you know that Windows 10 2004 defrags SSDs. Watch the YouTube video by Britech09. It's titled Major Problem with Windows 10 2004 update. This is something that when I watched it, I still wasn't completely satisfied on what to do. I actually deleted the scheduled task. When you look at it, it was defragging all a few times a day. That's crazy. So you go to the search and you type schedule, and that'll bring up the task scheduled. And this is only Windows 10 version 2004. Open the task schedule library, then open Microsoft, then Windows, then defrag, and just delete the task. That's what I did to make sure. Now, I regularly run the Samsung Magician and optimize my SSD drives, which updates and does a trim. So I do that once a week, once every 2 weeks. I could probably schedule that and automate it. I don't know if Samsung Magician has a command line or a way. I probably could figure out a way to do that. So right now it's manual, but Santos, thank you very much for that. This next email is from George in response to the show I did mentioning SIS internals from June 25th. I've been listening to your podcast for a few months on USB stick while driving and enjoy hearing what you have to say. I don't hear about SIS internals very often, which is too bad since it's an awesome set of tools, especially auto runs, the two process tools, Monitor and Explorer. And he's dead on. They're the ones that my go-to all the time. He continues, I've been able to locate bad software causing problems on machines using auto runs, which are not detected using other anti-malware or antivirus programs. The part I find most useful for this is the check tool virus scan, which is in scan options under options. You probably are familiar with it, but forgot to mention it. If you bring this up to your listeners, total virus scan will compare known viruses to about 70 of the databases of the best known antivirus companies, most of which we are all familiar with. Often a program or part of a program running might show a very low number of detections found, which is normal, but when a significant number of detections are found, and often in more than one place, but all related to the same program, usually that is the culprit. Removing that program, once identified, saves having to nuke and pave, and is often the preferred choice. This is great advice from George. There is a little known YouTube channel by an IT instructor by the name of Lowell Vanderpool, which I used to watch for years, giving lectures to students to prep them for the CompTIA tests at Orange Park Tech in Orlando, Florida. It had at least 5 separate videos on SIS internals. He took about a year off before resuming his videos. I believe he is not teaching now, but involved with enterprise level work as a consultant or an employee. He has a newer 5-6 part series on SIS internals, which are very informative. But as you said, there is so much to each one that he couldn't cover every detail. He mentions Mark often, and I believe knows him personally. That's very cool. I'm glad to hear that you intend to keep your podcast going even as you move toward retirement. George, I have no intention of retiring. I am not moving to retirement. Moving into another phase of my life where I need more happiness, and the winners are horrible on my wife and I and on our health. So there's reasons to want to be in a warmer client. And yes, you risk hurricanes, but it's not full time. So we're what typically is called snowbirds, and we're not even a full snowbird. So I'm going to be spending lots of time during the winter months here, but I have no intention of retiring. I'll probably work till I die, but as long as I can work remotely and take care of everything and be happy, that's what I'm going to do. My wife is still working. She's working remote. She's working right now, remoting in. As long as we can do this from anywhere in the world, why not where we want to be? So it's not retiring, but I'm putting us in a position that when I do retire, if I retire, this is where I'll be because we have it all built, all done. So not retiring. Thanks for informing listeners like me of the interesting things that you run across, even falling sheetrock when you think it's finally okay to lay down. It's funny to picture, but probably not to experience. George, you are correct. When you think it's all over and you lay down and the sheetrock falls on top of you, you know, you can't make that stuff up. You can't make some of the stuff up that I have been going through down here that I've talked about in shows. But George, thank you so much. This is from Scott, who is a longtime listener, and he's writing about the acoustic treatments. Hi, Mike. I've heard on a recent show about your new vacation home and the acoustic challenges you're facing in the new office. The sound has been great on the podcast, but that's likely because the microphone you're using has a very close pickup range and it's close to your mouth. If you still want to treat the acoustics of the room to reduce the echo and sound reflections, then I'd recommend getting some fiberglass acoustic panels. I recently moved into a new apartment and had the same issue in my office, so I ended up doing extensive research between different types of room treatments. The cheapest kind available and small tiles made out of foam. These don't do much at absorbing sound, but rather try to deflect the higher frequencies from bouncing off the surface they are adhered to. To really make a difference, you need a lot of them to cover the majority of your walls, and then you end up spending a lot of time and labor mounting them. In most cases, they simply are just not worth it. What you want are large panels, usually 24 inches by 48 inches and 2 inches thick in size, which have fiberglass bat insulation inside and are wrapped in some kind of fabric for aesthetics. These are more expensive but do much better job at absorbing sound with less things to cover the wall with. Most rooms can be treated with 3 or 4 panels to have a noticeable difference. The biggest challenge is determining where to put them. One way I found to test is simply snap your fingers or clap your hands and listen to where the sound bounces off. Once you get the panels, have someone hold one up against the wall in different locations and continue snapping your fingers, and you hear reduction in reverberation. When you found the right spot, you'll hear it. Typically, good placement would be in front of you and behind you, or on each wall in front of you, and then wherever the closest wall is behind you. Here is where I bought mine from, and I will have this link in the show notes. They do sell on Amazon, but it's cheaper to buy them direct. They have great customer service, and this is astroacoustics.com. And they even have an online tool where you can input your room dimensions, select the materials in the room, drywall, glass, hardwood versus carpet, etc. And then it will calculate the optimal number of panels you'll need. In my case, it was spot on, and 4 panels for my 9-foot by 14-foot office worked out perfectly and made a considerable difference, which I totally found worth the investment. They come with all the mounting hardware you need, and I ended up using 3M command strips since I'm an apartment and wanted to avoid drilling holes. No need to read this on the show. Oh, of course I had to. I hope you don't mind, Scott. I just wanted to provide this insight since I recently went through the same thing, and I figured my experience may save you some time and research, and it's going to save other listeners the time and research. This is what this is about, and I thank you so much for this. And he closes, "Thanks for all the effort you put into the show. I've been listening since the beginning. Scott, thank you so much." So with that, let me play this voicemail from Tony, moderator in the chat.
Hi, Mike. It's Tony, one of your moderators. I thought I'd just send you this email and let you know from a live sound technician point of view that the Florida setup does sound better than the Pennsylvania setup. Sometimes less is more.
That is sound advice. Less is more. And I am taking that to heart because when I go back to Pennsylvania, I'm making some changes. Everybody has said the sound is better. Now, to me, when I hear myself, I am getting that kind of empty room, you know, hollow sound. It doesn't seem to be going through to everybody else, so why am I worrying? And there's something else, some advice from Marvin B. Don't do a thing for panels until you are done finishing your room. He is 100% correct. There are curtains that I have bought that I'm going to be hanging that aren't hung yet. There's a Phillies rug that's going to be behind me that's going to be on the floor. There are still shelves that's going to happen on the one side, and there's going to be some memorabilia put on those shelves. This room is not done. So I gotta reevaluate after I am completely finished furnishing this room. Then I'll test. Then we'll see if we need some panels. And if we do, I'm going to do the exact advice that Scott recommended. But when it comes to the microphone and the mixer, Tony, you're dead on. That's all I have is an inexpensive Mackie mixer and a good $100, my Shure SM58, which, by the way, was the microphone I used for years, but then wanted more bass, and I went to the Heil microphone. I think when I get to Pennsylvania, there's a whole lot of equipment and a microphone that is going to go on Craigslist and possibly eBay, and I am keeping it simple. But first, I'm going to test, and I'm just going to have my Shure SM58 plugged in just to the mixer, and I'm eliminating the gate compressor and all of that other equipment. And we're just going to keep it simple, and I'm going to record and ask for your feedback again. So that is perfect. If you purchase anything from Amazon, please go out of your way to use the link that Carrie Holzman and I share. It's the best way to support the show. You click on that link, then it takes you back to Amazon, and now you add the items to your cart. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. We really appreciate it. You're supporting Carrie Holzman, Mike Smith, Tech Vets, and the Mike Tech Show. Thank you so much for your continued support. It makes a difference. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Use it all the time. My son just used it this morning with a new system for a client. They brought their old system by. They actually dropped it off last night. And he, the first thing this morning, took Fabs, took the hard drive out of the old system. Fabs did a transfer. Boom. Done. That was it. It was perfect. And we can't live without that. An instant house call. I can't even imagine being able to work as remotely as I do all the time. I'm connected to multiple systems at the same time. And with Instant House Call, you could have 10 systems you could be remoted into at the same time. Now, it's hard to process that. I think the most that I can, that I have done doing a mail migration, I was logged in to 6 workstations at the same time. There's only so much your brain can process and follow. So I always share that story. I can only do 6. So that's it for tonight's show. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook just in case that I'm able to go live on Saturday. I'll try to get this either posted up late tonight or tomorrow. And that's it. I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.